Welcome back to the Roundtable's New York Stage and Film and Vassar College broadcast from Poughkeepsie, New York. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Murder Ballad, the second Martell musical of this powerhouse season, will run as a staged reading July 27th through the 29th. A very brief plot summary is as follows. A love triangle gone wrong, Murder Ballad centers on Sarah, an Upper West Side mom who seems to have it all, but whose downtown past lingers enticingly and dangerously in front of her. Created by composer Juliana Nash of the indie rock band Talking to Animals and the award-winning playwright Julia Jordan, this powerhouse production is directed by Tripp Coleman. The Murder Ballad Company isn't on campus yet, so we've taped in advance with Julia Jordan and Tripp Coleman. Julia, Tripp, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hello.
Thank you.
Julia, we'll start with you. Tell us how you began working on this show with Juliana Nash.
Juliana and I have been friends for a very long time. We worked at a restaurant together called Lucky Strike for about 7 years and stayed close. And we had both got married, had children. She had put aside writing for a while, and I was at the, what's it called, New Dramatists, and they had this two-week workshop called Playtime where you could bring in a collaborator, and I just wanted to write with Juliana, always did. She'd never done anything in theater before, but I asked her, and she became my collaborator for this two-week extravaganza of creativity, I guess, and Tripp was there working on another play with Adam Bach, and so we kind of pulled him to the room whenever we could get him.
And the music that Juliana has written for the show, is a lot of it new? Because I know at least some of it is stuff that she'd already written with her band before. Is most of it new, or is it a fair mix?
Most of it is new, but there is a fair amount that comes from her band Talking to Animals. I would say most of those songs have been drastically rewritten in terms of lyrics, and some music has changed, some bridges added, some things have been expanded, new parts have been added. So everything has changed, but a couple of them, she has a really great way with grabbing a hook. Some of her hooks were just too delicious to give up, and even though they mean we're used in a different context or with a different meaning, they just sound so good. There was no way we could drop them.
And how does the show come to be at Powerhouse this summer?
Manhattan Theater Club has graciously been helping us develop this piece over the last 3 years. We all sort of felt like we were finally in the place where we would be ready to see what the piece would feel like in production. And I was quite pushy, and I said, well, if we're going to do production, and thank you so much for, you know, agreeing to have a production of this incredible musical, then I'd like a more substantial workshop. And, you know, I have been up at New York Stage and Film now 8 times, so 8 summers, and I just know it to be a really fantastic place to develop new work. And so that was sort of how this all came to pass, that we needed a place that was going to sort of embrace the piece and embrace our work on the piece and let us sort of do our thing and do all the things we need to do in order to eventually come to get this ready for production in the fall at Manhattan Theater Club.
And what about the show appealed to you and made you want to keep devoting time to it?
Like Julia said, about 3 years ago, I was working on another, on a different play at this sort of development place called New York New Dramatists, and they asked me to come down and listen to a couple of songs, and I did, and I thought the songs were great, and they had about 4 songs, and I said, great, you guys, these are amazing, keep going, and didn't really think about it for another year or so, and then they came back, and they said, hey, we have a first draft of this piece. And I said, great, let's do a reading of it. And we did. And, you know, again, in doing the work on, that week on the reading, I was like, wow, these are incredible songs. But I had no idea what the piece really was until I heard it performed at that first reading all the way through chronologically. And what happened was all of these songs that individually I thought were, oh, these are great songs. If you heard them on the radio today, you would be like, that song's a hit. That should be played across the nation. It's such a great song. But I didn't understand until it was all put together that this story has this unbelievable sort of emotional impact. And I remember that reading, and actually at every single reading subsequently, the audience is left all sort of crying and really, really moved by this story. And that's when I knew that what Julie and Juliana had come up with was really, really special, and it was something I wanted to involve myself with.
And now either or both of you can answer. Tell us more about the format of the show and the story. It's a rock musical. How much music are there, scenes?
Well, it's completely sung. I think there are maybe under 10 words spoken.
Okay.
Every once in a while, I'll be like, yeah, really, really, really tiny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's completely sung. It was an idea that I had kicking around for a long time, just as a theory. I've always loved murder ballads and sort of attracted to them, and loved the play of just telling the story, and there's often a reveal inside it. And who's singing? Is it the dead person who's singing? Who is it? A completely outside just storyteller? Is it the murderer? There's just so much fun in the writing of them that I've always paid attention to that. And I started thinking, you know, you could write a show where you had a murder ballad, and then in between the verses and the choruses, have the characters of the story come in and sing their songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that we started with that, and Juliana really loved it because she does not come from theater. So she gets a little nervous, like a lot of people do, around breaking into song.
Sure.
So this way, we could avoid that. And also, by having it be a love triangle, you know, that's what a lot of most pop songs are about. You know, I love him, he broke my heart, I want him back. And then we talked a lot about the stalker songs that we love. You know, there's a lot of really good stalker songs. So it all just sort of lent itself to Juliana's talents and was a perfect mix.
Tripp, how often have you directed musicals?
Not often enough. I developed a bunch of musicals in my 10 years as a professional director, but I have yet to see any of those development processes move forward to a full-fledged production. So I guess this is, you know, I'm a virgin, and this is my my losing my musical virginity as a director on this piece, which makes me very happy since it's something that I'm so passionate about.
And you have music in your background. He can sing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a naturally very musical person, and I love music, and I really believe that this musical is also on some level a musical for people who don't necessarily love musicals.
Uh-huh.
Because it is such an unusual piece, and the music comes not as much from the tradition of musical theater as it does from a rock tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to appeal to a lot of audience members, you know. And this notion of taking the popular construct of a murder ballad, which is something that you can find throughout history in popular music, whether it be Mack the Knife, Stand by Eminem, and then stretching that concept over an entire evening is, I think, really special and interesting. And it's certainly the twists and turns of the plot, I think, will keep the audience engaged as well.
And Julia, you write plays and books for musicals. Is there a large difference in the process for you, or is it not too different to tackle both of those kinds of projects?
I have two things to say about that, which are in complete contradiction. But
okay.
Part of it, I think when I teach, I always tell my students it's the exact same thing, that the musical has to tell a story as well as a play and as deeply as a play. And I think that's one of the things that sometimes irritate me about some musicals, is I feel like the story gets lightened up so much,
mm-hmm.
that it wouldn't stand as a play. it wouldn't be enough as a play. But on the other hand, I do think that when you're writing a musical, clarity is everything, because you have to let the music be the detail and be the subtleties. And so I try to write more clearly, and as in like plot points, when I'm writing a book to a musical, but I try not to let it get too simplistic.
Right, that makes sense. I think I understand. You mentioned you've been to Powerhouse, the New York Stage and Film and Vassar College, several times. What is it about that place and the support you get there that keeps you coming back?
Well, you know, the campus at Vassar is an arboretum, so it already has this kind of mystical air to it, I think.
Right.
And I think also because you're sort of so far removed from, you know, the grind and bustle and hustle of New York City, it really forces you to, you know, work on what you came up there to work on. You're not as easily distracted by your own life and by all the various sort of things that are going on in New York City that can turn your attention away. You know, there's something kind of extraordinary and holy about getting into a room with collaborators without the expectation of a product at the end of your time there,
mm-hmm.
and just wholly focused on the process. And that's sort of what I felt like I really wanted and needed in order to come back to New York City with this project and go through a rehearsal process wherein the final end product of, you know, a production is very much in the back of one's mind as one works. So I think that it just gives you this great sort of platform for experimentation, and you feel free, and that's an important thing, I think.
Have a great time with it, and thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
Murder Ballad, directed by Trip Coleman and created by Juliana Nash and Julia Jordan, runs at the Martell Theater and the Vogelstein Center for Drama and Film on the Vassar Campus in Poughkeepsie, New York, July 27th through the 29th. To learn more, visit powerhouse.vassar.edu. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable's live broadcast from Vassar on WAMC.